Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go aboard.
Happy Thursday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3 hour zero gravity gala. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Fargo to Florida, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Fired up for today's show. We got a really good one. We've got some surprises for you. Coming up, Barrett Salee is going to join us in about 35 minutes from now from SEC Media Days. We'll do some college football with him. And this is a big addition for the CBS family. Barrett Salee was one of our go-to guys, college football insider last year for the Bleacher Report. We love Barrett. He does fantastic work. And now CBSSports.com has added him to the roster for this year. So that's a big win right there. Count the W, fly the flag. He's going to join us coming up in about 35 minutes. Also, you know, we here on the DA show, we like to dig a little deeper. You know what you're going to get so many other places in sports talk radio. Topic of the day. Point A, arguing point B. They go at it, yada, yada, yada. We all know what happens. But we here on the DA show dig deeper, below the surface. And that's why we delivered to you all of the insight in history about the Italian Football League. Not football like soccer yesterday, but the Italian-American Football League, where the news of Calvin Johnson ripping the Lions emanated from. And we said, let's dig deeper. Oh, there's an Italian Football League that's been going on for 37 years that culminates in an Italian Bowl every year? So we had Jolton Joe D discuss this as a historian. I mean, he was like the Gil Brandt of the Italian Football League. Turns out we tracked down a player for you. American-born Mike Vannucci plays for the Florence Griffins. He played college football at William Patterson. He then headed out there for his rookie year. We will have an actual Italian League football player join us on the show in the third hour. So when you look at us, just know we're working harder for you. We're not just taking Calvin Johnson's comments during a press conference about the Italian Bowl and discussing, we're also drilling down and letting you know that the Bergamo Giants, I think, or Panthers or Eagles or something, won 11 straight, and now we got a player on, Mike Vannucci, Florence Griffins. That's a big deal. There is also a real treat in watching the simulcast today at watchda.com, and that is that I am rocking my Big Three gear. The Big Three was kind enough to send us some gear. That's the Ice Cube League. I declared the Ghost Ballers as my team. I think it's because the ghost with the headband looks like Jermaine O'Neal. And so I am not only rocking some Ghost Ballers t-shirt action, but also a Ghost Ballers flat brim cap, which is very awkward for me. I'm 38 years old. Flat brim caps are no longer cool for anybody over the age of 30. I would even say maybe younger than that, but I will give everybody under the age of 30 a pass. If you're in your 20s, you can rock a flat brim. I'm now officially dad aged. I cannot. Guys in their 40s rocking flat brim, I just don't see how you can get away with that. I just don't see how you could feel okay about yourself. I'm trying it, though, because I feel like if I'm wearing Big 3 Ice Cube Allen Iverson-esque gear, I can't look corny. Now, I'm looking corny by trying to not look corny, but if I bent this brim, I'd look real super corny. So here's the issue. I don't know if you guys have seen this. This is when I knew I was old. You know, I grew up, obviously, without the flat brim caps, always bending the brim. If you try to buy a hat with a bent brim, the design, the type of hat when you buy the flat brim is now just the hat. It's like, I just want whatever it is. I just want the Detroit Tigers hat. If it's got the bent brim and the faded like worn look, it's now the dad style. That's official. When you go to Lids or you go to fanatics.com or whatever, you choose between regular hat or dad hat. And now I know I wear the dad hats. So that's when I felt real dated, like, whoa. Oh, so my fashion is now the dad fashion. Oh, that's tough. That is tough to swallow. So today I will try to avoid being dad fashion, but I'm looking dorky while doing it. But you can watch that at watchda.com, and why wouldn't you?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
So let's start with the NBA, because yesterday the NBA, in a very strategic maneuver, on a day where there was no sports, did anybody else kind of feel like a refreshing night last night? Where you came home from work, you sat down, you're like, oh, wait. There's no sports to watch. This is cool. And don't give me the ESPYs. No, sorry. I'm out. I've been out for a long time. When I was 11, I voted for the ESPYs on my touch tone landline phone. 25 years later, I'm out on the ESPYs. Okay. So that was kind of nice. And on a day where there was no sports to be played, the NBA did something very smart. They announced rules changes and scheduling changes. Now, the NBA trade deadline will be right after the Super Bowl, the week following the Super Bowl. So that's like, what, February 8th, 9th, something like that. And then they're also eliminating, as you heard Bogish mention in the updates, they're eliminating two timeouts per team down the stretch, or they've limited to that. So they've taken out timeouts from coaches and stoppages in play to keep the end of games going. The NBA is capitalizing on its surging popularity and another brilliant move by Adam Silver and this league, which is riding a crest of popularity unlike anything it has seen since the Michael Jordan days and maybe before that with Magic and Bird. It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
We were more focused here on the pace and flow of the game. And what we heard from our fans, we heard from many of our teams, was that the end of the games in particular were too choppy. And I mean, I think since I was a kid, you know, that's an issue people have been talking about the last 2 minutes of our game. So we think these new changes will have a significant impact, especially at the end of the game.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That obviously Adam Silver when it comes to the NBA rules changes. And I love the idea of the NBA not being so stop and go at the end of games. You want that pace. You want that flow. You want games to continue with guys driving the ball up the floor, taking shots, passing the ball, then getting defensive stops instead of foul, free throw, timeout, commercial, comeback, foul, free throw, commercial, timeout, set up your out-of-bounds play. It's boring. It's choppy, as he just said. It lacks the momentum, and this is a great idea. It now reduces by a total of 4 timeouts in the ends of these games, and that's great, 2 per team. It also shows that the NBA is trying to take advantage right now of a increasingly powerful influence. And they're now taking over the offseason, the summer. I mean, the summer used to be solely under ownership of baseball. I mean, it was just baseball during late June, after the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Final, after we had crowned those two champions. It was all baseball right through training camp. And then even training camp and preseason, baseball dominated these months. Basketball now dominates these months. Basketball, from the day the NBA Finals ended, it was about free agency, the NBA draft. Think about everything that has happened, and Summer League. Everything that has happened with the NBA surging in popularity. Where's LeBron going to go? Paul George to the Thunder. Gordon Hayward to the Celtics. Chris Paul to the Rockets. The draft, Markelle Fultz, the number one pick, getting traded. Lonzo Ball to L.A. LaVar Ball shirtless during WWE's Monday Night Raw. Summer League action, highlights all over the place. Lonzo versus De'Aaron Fox. Lonzo pulling out. Lonzo having a terrible first game, a triple-double second game, looking great last night. You've got trades and signings, and where will LeBron land, and what's going on in Cleveland with David Griffin, and what's going on with their ownership and Dan Gilbert. Every day there's something else, and we're caring about Summer League. Summer League's always existed just for rookies and fringe roster players. Now, every game is televised. People are into it. It was a doubleheader in prime time on ESPN last week. Basketball has capitalized on having really marketable stars, marketing them better than any other sport does, and a youth movement where kids are into the pace of hoops. They like that it moves fast. They love the identifiable characters. These are really likable guys, so that everybody can like LeBron or Steph or Kevin Durant or Dwayne Wade or Anthony Davis or Karl Anthony Towns or John Wall. All these guys keep their nose clean off of the basketball floor. So you have this great combination of marketable guys, good guys, and kids like the branding. They like wearing the jerseys and hoisting up a lot of shots like Steph Curry, and they like watching Russell Westbrook, and all of this has worked to make the NBA, plus the assemblance of superstars and super teams, so that every maneuver feels like it's a big deal, has made the NBA a year-round construct. It has never been like this, and this is so smart, because what the NBA is doing is saying, we're conceding football season, as we all know, to a certain degree, you have to. And then the moment the Super Bowl is over, we're going to own this. Trade deadline, the moment the Super Bowl plays. Soon as that is over, it's NBA season. And we're going to carry that right through training camp. Because really, we are now getting into siphoning off in America a two-sport calendar year. Football and the NBA. We've got football, the NFL, and college football, which dominates. College basketball doesn't dominate except for 1 month. Baseball never dominates outside of October, which is the middle of football season. And the NBA is taking advantage of this. Very smart. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. With all of this money in the NBA right now, NFL players are PO'd. You've seen NFL players on Twitter go off on the type of money NBA players are getting. And Richard Sherman now has a message for the NFL players on how to make it equitable again. But it ain't ever going to happen. We'll discuss. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
Does he need to eat a hot dog off the street? Does he need to eat a slice of pizza?
Obviously.
We also have pizza. It's not that we're not from the moon.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
German race car driver Daniel Opt yesterday While you're in New York, you should eat our pizza. He's like, I live really close to Italy. I don't need your pizza. Oh, right. He goes, I don't live on the moon. Yeah, that's a good point. We're idiots. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember that the show is broadcast in video form on a daily basis. Watch the simulcast at watchda.com. Every single show is available at watchda.com. And even when we're off the air, you can watch the most recent episode. And what's really cool is that it's mobile friendly. Check it out on your phone or your tablet. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. With these crazy salaries going around in the NBA, it has made many NFL players jealous, envious, and frustrated. And you see guys taking to Twitter and ripping some of the huge contracts that the NBA is giving out. NBA free agents agreed to deals at nearly $1 billion spent in the first day of free agency this year. How could the NFL ever get those types of salaries, considering the NFL is the more popular sport by television rating standards? Richard Sherman said yesterday, if we want, as the NFL, as a union, to get anything done, players have to be willing to strike. That's the thing that guys need to 100% realize. You're going to have to miss games. You're going to have to lose some money if you're willing to make the point, because that's how MLB and NBA got it done. They missed games. They struck. They flexed every bit of their power they had, and it was awesome. It worked out for them. NBA players like KD and LeBron are sitting there taking two-year deals like it's nothing. They figure, I'll take a two-year deal because I'm going to wait for the salary cap to increase and get another bite at the apple. In our sport, they won't do it. End of quote. There's some really interesting points here. Number one, it's true. If the NFL players ever really wanted guaranteed contracts, if they ever really wanted a huge spike in the salary cap, if they ever really wanted those types of deals, they'd have to be willing to strike. It's the only way you'll bring the owners to their knees. The last time the players had the stomach to strike and miss games was 1987. You're talking about 30 years ago. Was the last time the NFL players said, you know what, we will strike. And that's how they got free agency. They don't have that stomach anymore because they're making too much money as it is. If you have an $8 million contract, if you have a $20 million a year contract, if you have 3 years for $35 million, are you missing paychecks? You might want 3 years at 35 to become 3 years at 70 or 3 years at 55, but 3 years at 35 is a good enough deal to where you're not missing games. So the issue was in 1987, while football players got paid more than the regular average everyday Joe, it still wasn't so much to where you said, I could never miss that paycheck. But now you're talking about a salary that even though it pales in comparison to the NBA or Major League Baseball, you're still not walking away from. So it's never going to happen because those players are too comfortable right now. The money got too big and they'll never strike. Number two, as Richard Sherman just alluded to, Kevin Durant and LeBron can take two-year deals. Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, Adrian Peterson in his prime can't. Why? Man, because in 2 years of the NFL, you could be out of the league. It's too violent. It's too physical. Takes too much of a toll. You don't know. One hit in your career could be over, Terrell Davis. So LeBron can sign a two-year deal and go, and my market value is still going to be huge, the same as where it is in 2 years. I know my body, and unless a freak injury happens, I'll get my money. But if you're an NFL player, say you're Derek Carr, you feel like you've got a really good long career, but you can't afford to take a two-year deal right now. You got to get paid. You could have five guaranteed years or the equivalent of 5 years than whatever that is guaranteed on the front end. You got to get paid now because you don't know. ACL tear here, shoulder injury there, a knee here. Forget it. You're never the same. So you can't afford to do that in the NFL, and that's also why they'll never strike. You have a very finite amount of years to earn. In the NBA, that window's way bigger. And here's the deal, and this is why this is finally bothering NFL players. Baseball was always the head of the pack financially, always. When you look at the first $1 million contract, that was Nolan Ryan, gosh, I want to say 79, something like that. I mean, so you're talking about nearly 40 years ago, you had your first $1 million man in baseball. It took 20 more years to get a $1 million man in football. So football's never been like, we should make more money than baseball. That was Nolan Ryan, 1980. Basketball, though, has only recently become this financial windfall because the television money went big time. And as I was just saying in the first segment, the popularity of the NBA has skyrocketed recently. So the NBA has capitalized with its most recent television deal, which is a total monster for Turner and ESPN, which rose the cap an incredible percentage, and now everybody is getting rich. I mean, stinking rich. To where now the NBA salaries are higher than baseball. So the NFL net is now the third most best paid, I should say, sport. I mean, Steph Curry's making $40 million a year. There's nobody in baseball making $40 million a year. Think about that. Steph Curry and now James Harden make more than anybody else in baseball. And so the NFL's looking around going, gosh, now we're number three. But basketball's also got fewer players. Fewer players to spend money on. To the NFL, you've got to flesh out a roster of a minimum of 45 people. You can pay Derek Carr a ton of cash, everything you've got in the bank. But if you've got no offensive line and no wide receivers for him and no defense, you're cooked. In the NBA, you will spend everything, every red cent you have on LeBron or Kevin Durant or James Harden or whatever, and you are hoping that just by virtue of having that guy, your livelihood changes. So here is the bottom line. The NFL ain't striking ever again, never happening in our lifetime. Too much money is at stake that they would lose. Number two, this is the new reality of the NBA because of their popularity. And number three, you can't catch the NBA now that they're on even playing ground with Major League Baseball and the NFL because they pay way fewer players. So the NFL players are going to have to grin and bear it, man, and realize you're doing pretty well. You're doing really well. But it's just not as well as baseball or basketball with guaranteed contracts. You guys still don't have those. And you won't have the singular salaries that they do. 855-212-4CBS. And on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, college football, our friend Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com. He's from SEC Media Days. We'll get the vibe of what's been going on at SEC Media Days with all the coaches coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Good morning, man. Here comes my ex-wife. Could you beat me up? Oh, man, good look.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Summer's heat can cause your battery fluids to evaporate. Get your battery tested for free. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people will help you find the battery you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Welcome back, DA, with you. Full episodes of the show available on iTunes. Remember, if you miss anything or want to hear it again, specific segments, specific bits, specific interviews, some specific hour, that's okay. It's all broken up for you and easily labeled to identify. Simply go to iTunes and search DA and CBS, and you'll see all of our shows, complete shows, podcastable there. I think CBSSports.com nailed this next hire. We had him on throughout the last couple of football seasons as a tremendous college football insider. I love his work. I love him as a guest, and now he's a CBSSports.com writer. And so it's a great maneuver by the company, waving the flag, fly the W. Barrett Salih from SEC Media Days, now a member of CBSSports.com, joining us here on the show. Barrett, good morning.
Good morning. That was quite the intro. When I signed the deal, I was just hoping not to sink the ship. Like, that was the goal. I have modest goals here.
Modest goals, except, Barrett, I feel like you are now fueled beyond being the normal sports writer, A, for a redemption tour, but also B, because your Falcons took it on the chin of the Super Bowl, and you will write with a fury this football season.
Oh, just coming out swinging with the Falcons. yeah, it's still Kyle Shanahan. It's all he had to do was run the ball. And it'd have been a happy, glorious all season in Atlanta. But, I'm excited about doing CBS. And it's great to, call you a colleague now. That's weird.
We love it. And I want to know, being at SEC Media Days, out of all the coaches, we know Nick Saban can be grumpy. We know what to expect from some of these guys that are conservative. Who's been the most enjoyable to hear speak?
It's not a popular answer. Vandy's Derek Mason is really owning things now. The first couple of years he was Vandy's head coach, no one really cared, and he was kind of nervous, didn't know what to do, didn't really know how to be a head coach. It's hard to be a first-time head coach, right? So now, after going to a bowl game last year, he's a little bit more comfortable. He's out there and outspoken. And, he flat out said, which I think is really, really interesting, and if you're a Tennessee fan, you should be furious about this. Vanderbilt's head coach said last season's 6-7 season in which they went to a bowl game was a disappointment. For Vandy, that's huge progress, right? Tennessee's head coach, Butch Jones, said, last year's 9-4 season was not a disappointment when they were picked to do much bigger things. So Vandy's head coach is not settling for steps forward. Tennessee's head coach is settling for stagnation. That's really interesting in the state of Tennessee.
Yeah, why do you think Butch Jones continues to drop the barometer of success? I mean, it feels like every time he speaks, it's like, let's not get too high. Nobody expect too much. We're champions at life. Everything is okay here. Why do you think that is?
He's never done this before. He's never had to sustain a program or, get a program to a level and then take it higher. Like, he's always had, minor coaching jobs or group of five coaching jobs, and has never had, this kind of pressure. So, I think he's afraid to say publicly that he wants bigger things. I think he's actually afraid to say that privately, too. I think he's so just enamored with these, coach speaky things like consistency and performance and brick by brick and getting better every day and snap and clear and all this other, nonsense. Like, that's who he is. Like, it's one thing to say that publicly, and a lot of coaches, operate in the world of coach speak. That's fine. That's what they do. But you have to set the expectation much higher within the program, and I don't think he does that. And that, I think, is a major problem for a guy who, on top of not living up to his expectations and what that team should be, he's not really doing himself any favors with fans and boosters by clearly settling for just okay.
Barrett Salih, college football writer at SEC Media Days for CBS Sports, joins us here on the show. Do you think it's also that Butch Jones, there's so much hysteria around Tennessee, there's so much frustration and impatience, that he's trying to counteract some of that?
Yeah, he is, but he's not doing a good job. I mean, I don't know if there's a good way to do it. It's definitely his goal is to try to just, get out of here and get through, the offseason with just minimal problems and just try to, sort of skate through. And I think that was his goal when he came through Media Days the other day, was don't make any news. But the problem is, by doing what you always do, you make news because you set the bar so low. So, I think when he looks at his team, in an honest moment, he's going to see a team that is going to have a hard time contending, even in a bad division. And if you have a hard, if you are honest with yourself about that, and I think you probably will be, it's going to be hard to say publicly that you are supposed to be great, because, I mean, no one believes they will be.
When I went down to Rocky Top last year, it was always a bucket list item to go to Neyland Stadium, and the fans that I met were all incredible. The experience was incredible, but they reminded me, as a Mets fan, or as I look at Browns fans, of being passionate and vocal and supportive, but always expecting the bottom to drop out. Would you say that Tennessee fans are, I don't want to say the most negative, but maybe the most paranoid in the SEC?
I would say this year they are, and last year when things started going south, they certainly sort of evolved back into that. And I think that's just sort of conditioned by, you know, what happened with Derek Dooley and Lane Kiffin, and even the end of the Philip Fulmer era. You know, they expect things to sort of tail off, whether it be due to injuries or bad luck or whatever. You remember 2 years ago, they blew, you know, 4 two-score leads in the second half of games against really good teams, but that's just that kind of thing, and that kind of heartbreak and that kind of frustration is just sort of been a fact of life for Tennessee for, you know, dang near generation now. And so, you know, when things do look like they're going well, which they were for Tennessee for, you know, the half the season last year, you know, I think there's that little devil on the shoulder saying, look out, you know what's coming, and usually it does come.
Is this Georgia's year to get to Atlanta?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think that team's going to be really good. I think they're a playoff contender. I think their issues are overstated. Offensive line, I think they're way more comfortable there than people realize. And then from a wide receiver standpoint, they are they don't have a go-to guy, but they've got like 7 or 8 different weapons that all are different and can stress the defense no matter what they throw at it. And then I think defensively, here's the thing, in the SEC East, you know, it's going to be a year where just enough defense does an awful lot for you. And that defense is going to be really, really good. So if they can just score some points, and I think they will with all the weapons they have, they're going to be just fine. So, yeah, I think it's unless it's massive injuries, that would be my pick.
Do you think that the SEC should move Auburn into the SEC East and Mizzou out West?
No, because then you have a lot bigger problems to deal with, because from a scheduling standpoint, you have to have a permanent cross-division rivalry. Well, if you move Auburn to the East and Mizzou to the West, then Auburn and Alabama would be the cross-division rivalry, and then Alabama would lose its rivalry with Tennessee. And, well, that hasn't been very competitive, say, for a couple of years ago. You know, it's still one of those historical games that needs to stick around. So if they want to expand it to 9 games for a conference schedule, sure, then you can start talking about realignment. But if that has to happen first before you actually get into that discussion.
Barrett Silley joins us from CBSSports.com from SEC Media Days. Is there any appetite to advance that schedule to 9 games, or do all these coaches and ADs want those hypothetical 4 wins before they get into the grueling SEC season?
Nick Saban's for it, but he's the only one. they've got a format, a structure through, I think it's 2025 set right now. That obviously can be changed, you know, rather easily in terms of redoing a format. But they've talked about that a couple times in Destin at the spring meetings in May and June, and every year it basically falls flat on its face. There's Nick Saban, and there's his AD, whether it's Bill Burner or back in the day Bill Battle, even back to Mal Moore, back in his coach. But that's pretty much all the distraction that gets.
You know, last year the SEC did not have a great year. Alabama had a great year. The conference as a whole did not. Do you feel like it's more competitive this season, the SEC?
Yeah. You know, even last year, I don't think the gap is as wide as others do, because I think what Alabama did was just disguise its problems better with specifically not offensive touchdowns, which at the time we thought were really cool and impressive, but they also prevented Alabama from fixing or even addressing its what proved the fatal flaw, which was the inability to pass downfield. So I think Auburn and Georgia both are going to be really good. I think the whole conference is going to be an offensively driven conference this year, and it's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to see a lot of points, and you're going to see a lot of stress on defenses to take risks. And, you know, Auburn and Georgia are two offenses I think that can do that. So, yeah, I mean, it's not as wide of a gap, I think, as people realize. I think there's still, I mean, look what happened last year. Ole Miss didn't even go to a bowl game, and they had Alabama on the ropes for like 45, 50 minutes of a 60-minute game.
Yeah. Who is the most interesting quarterback in the SEC?
The most interesting quarterback in terms of personality or play?
In terms of play, who's the guy that you circle? You go, this is the most interesting story at quarterback in the SEC.
Jarrett Stidham at Auburn, the Baylor transfer, because there's a lot of hype around him, I think justifiably, but there's also a lot of pressure on him because Auburn is going to get picked second in the West by the group here when they release him tomorrow. I'm almost certain of that. So if you're the next big thing to Alabama in that division, you better live up to the hype, because if Jarrett Stidham can't do it, that probably means Gus Malzahn is going to get fired too. So the expectations he's bringing for Auburn make them interesting, but it also is, it's up to him to prove that he can make that offense click. And if he doesn't, then a lot of other things outside of his control are going to happen, and none of them are good for the orange and blue.
Is Kevin Sumlin on the hottest seat in the SEC?
No, I think Butch Jones is, because I think Kevin Sumlin is, he's done a really good job of raising the floor of that program, and he deserves credit for that. And Butch Jones has done that at Tennessee too. I just think, with the way the rosters are set, if you go 8-4 at Texas A&M with that roster, which is remarkably young, the feeling you're going to get as a booster is probably a little better than going 8-4 with Tennessee's roster in a division that is way more winnable.
Huh. What do you think about A&M? I've heard some people at A&M say, hey, if Kevin Sumlin doesn't win 10 games, we're getting Chip Kelly. Do you think Chip Kelly would be interested in that job in the offseason?
Yeah, I think he would. I mean, being in Texas, that's a good place to be if you're a spread coach. Now there's spread coaches are everywhere now, but Texas sort of owned that as a high school state a long time ago. So I think he certainly would be interested in that job if it did come open. I think he'd be interested in a lot of jobs, and that's the biggest thing. But basically, Chip Kelly is this year's version of Tom Herman. So Tom Herman at Houston last year, everybody loved him, especially when they beat Oklahoma in game one, right? And that caused LSU to make a move four games into their season. Now, they didn't get Tom Herman, but he's the reason Les Miles got fired after that Auburn game. Chip Kelly's going to have that same effect over college football this year.
Do you think that Tom Herman at Texas pays big dividends this season?
Yeah, I think he does. That conference is way more manageable than people realize. I don't think Oklahoma is just in general, even before Bob Stoops retired, was as good as other folks did. Oklahoma State's pretty good, but that roster's loaded. I think offensively they were fine last year, and that's Tom Herman's wheelhouse. But I talked to Tom several times, and when he was at Houston, and we talk about defense an awful lot, and he loves talking defense, and they've got plenty of really good defensive players, whether it be Malik Jefferson or some of those other guys. And they're going to be way better coached. I think last year Charlie Strong, sort of sacrificed, focusing on the defense because he knew he had to save the offense. I think this year they're going to have a little bit more attention paid to it, and they'll be really strong. Are they going to win the division or Big 12 championship? I'd say probably not, but it wouldn't surprise me if they're in that mix.
Final question, Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com. At SEC Media Days, what's been the best food delivered, prepared for the media this week?
We haven't had much of anything. I guess the fried chicken sometimes is fried well, sometimes it's not. I always end up going to this restaurant across the street because by the time it's over, I'm just exhausted and I just get like a buffalo chicken wrap. So I don't really go out to eat here that much. But last night was karaoke night, which is a media day tradition. So that was a lot of fun.
What'd you sing?
I opened the entire night up when the guy got there to set the equipment up with "Kickstart My Heart" by Motley Crue.
Nice.
Then about 30 minutes later, we did "Paradise City" by Guns N' Roses.
Nice.
And at about 12:30, 1 o'clock, "Miss New Booty" by Bubba Sparks. and they're all on Twitter. You can retweet them all. They're all there. But it was good. Like, it's a tradition that we've done for like 6-7 years. finally people actually showed. There was like 60 or 70 people there last night.
That's fantastic. Barrett Salee, hair band rocker extraordinaire, college football insider. Okay, so follow him on Twitter, at Barrett Salee, spelled S-A-L-L-E-E. And read all of his coverage at CBSSports.com. He's one of the best college football writers out there. Very, very excited that he's part of the CBS family now. I'm sure we'll tap into his brain as the football season comes closer. It's great to have you aboard, Barrett, man. Thanks so much for spending time with us today.
All right, thanks for having me.
Barrett Salee joining us from SEC Media Days. Bubba Sparks. You know, Mraz, once upon a time, your nickname was Chubba Sparks.
I love me a Miss New Booty. Good for Barrett.
Miss New Booty from Barrett Salee. That's why we like him as part of the family. Can have a few cocktails and belt out a karaoke song or two. No stiffies here on the CBS Sports College Football beat. When we come back, A-Rod's plan to save baseball. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.